After the break, Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan Chase made news last week when they announced they're forming an independent company that many think will disrupt the healthcare industry. We'll hear what this move could mean and how some smaller disruptions already happening in Northeast Ohio. It's The Sound of Ideas. I'm Mike McIntyre. We'll be right back. Here to talk about Amazon's move is our go-to local expert on all things health finance. J.B. Silvers is professor at Case Western Reserve University and a board member at MetroHealth. Good to have you with us, sir.
Great. Good to be here.
Dr. Holly Persey, Vice President and of Care Delivery at MetroHealth, Executive Director of Skyway. Tell me a little bit. Obviously, we're not talking about a concern as big as these three behemoth companies, but in Cleveland, how has Skyway worked, and do you see some similarities to the kind of things that we're talking about with Amazon et al. And how that might happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Skyway was really born on the fact of really trying to go direct to the employers to lower their costs of health care. I'm just so that you know, I'm a primary care doc by training, so I'm an internist and pediatrician. And so I've lived for, 29 years actually seeing the plight of patients coming in, not saying, well, Dr. Persey, how much does this cost? And I can never give a straight answer. I can say, well, it depends on your insurance company and what they've negotiated.
Or how much you got.
Or what's your deductible, where are you going? And so it's very complex. And so having seen patients for so many years and now being on the side of being able to take Skyway, and we really look at Skyway as a health solutions company going out directly to employers saying, what's your problem? How can I customize a solution for you to help you lower your cost of healthcare for your employees, but do it in the right way? Because when you've seen one company, you've actually seen one company. And how can we utilize our best resources to help them? And so I think that that's been very helpful. We have about 30 clients now through our various Skyway products to be able to help. And it's a great process to go directly to the employer.
So how does that work specifically then? You'll talk to the employer and talk about what it is their employees need and then try to build some program around that?
Correct. We work with self-funded employers. So we work through their brokers and their current third-party administrators. But we are able to look at their claims data, be able to see where, look at some of their low-hanging fruit, give them reports back to say, this is where your employees are going. These are the type of services they're doing. As JB alluded to, this is how many people are going to the emergency room. And if you had better access to primary care, or if we had better processes so that your patients could maybe call us or use telemedicine, which is huge these days, all of those things are solutions that can really help the employer directly lower their healthcare costs. And so we put them together, including even a direct-to-consumer. There are a lot of people that have high deductible plans, or to be honest, even on the exchanges have such high deductibles that they don't get services. And once again, as a primary care doc, that's the worst thing, to say, yes, I have coverage, but I can't afford it, or I don't want to use it, or they don't understand that a deductible means they have to pay that much out of pocket to start with. So the average employee, as well as the employer, we're all, consumerism in medicine is now high. And that's where I think the Amazon is, they know consumers.
And there is that aspect of it. And it seems, JB, that that's what's going to continue, that the idea that people really have command of their own information through technology, it looks like that's the kind of thing that Amazon and these other companies put together can really tap into.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. The consumer has to have more responsibility, and that's the concern we've had in the past. But what these people miss, or what they haven't gotten to yet, is that you also have to change the way primary care and the rest of medical practice works. So it's not – can they change the way we organize the system and the way the delivery process works? Well, not directly. The question, can they create a climate that gets people like what Holly mentioned – to innovate, to come up with new ways to reach out to people and give them what they want. And I think we're going to find some very interesting innovations in that category. The big behemoths on the delivery side are all sitting back there saying, oh my gosh, what do I have to do in this new world? I better figure out how to make it transparent. So the patient knows what the cost is going to be for the next month instead of just wondering what I'm going to have to pay. They don't have to worry about when they go to the doc because they've already prepaid for it. And so they're less reluctant to get primary care. So can we change the way we handle risk across the system in ways to get people to do what they need to be doing? And I think that's the big picture behind this one.
So we have providers that are also then teaming up. Like the lines are blurred. It used to be here was the insurer, here was the patient, here was the hospital, here was the doctor. Now it seems that's all kind of morphed one into the other.
Well, it's not surprising. That's been a speculation for a long time. McKinsey put a report out probably 10 or 15 years ago that I used to use in class that talked about the coming merger of insurance and delivery. I think part of it, again, is if you go to behavioral economics, is how do you create the right incentives for the people that are making key decisions to make the right decisions? And we've really used a pretty blunt instrument in the past. You know, it's either you don't have any responsibility, it's all on the insurance company, or I'm going to give somebody a fixed amount of money and it's all on the delivery system to figure out how to do it, or right what we're doing right now, I'm going to have a $5,000 deductible. It's all your responsibility, Mr. Patient. None of those are the right solution. So can we be more sophisticated? The other thing that people haven't talked about with this new adventure is Berkshire Hathaway is in the insurance business. They're biggest reinsurer. They spend a lot of time. Now, they're a blunt instrument in terms of we'll take care of the really excess one. My bet is they're thinking a lot more about what risk do I want people to bear, and not just this monster risk, little risk too, big risk, things like that. Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan, they were really big in HSAs. They spun that off as a separate company.
Health savings accounts.
They're thinking about how to create financial risk at the patient level or the individual level in a way that makes sense. We're experimenting, and I think it's going to be changing a lot over the next few years.
Might we see other big companies then combining like this and going their own way, or combining with this conglomerate, and suddenly we have something that's not just a million employees but 10 million employees?
Oh, I think that's easily a possibility. And there'll be other people. There'll be provider systems, like Holly mentioned, that are going to be trying to figure out how to do that, and they'll be offering product.
And Dr. Persey, when you look at what's happening with these companies, it would seem they'd need somebody like you that in order to do this. How would your organization, if it were, say that were to happen with the three biggest employers in Cleveland, would you insinuate yourself in this and be able to help with this idea of sort of changing the way healthcare is accessed?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things we're already doing. We're always looking for predictive analytics and the tech solutions, but really going directly to the employers and having the transparency of costs, knowing what they're purchasing, and then being able to have them evaluate what they're purchasing to make decisions and change their product or their offering as they go along. It's very rare that you see a provider go in and say, well, have you aligned your incentives with your plan? Have you aligned? And we went to a company and said, I don't think you want to only charge $25 for an emergency room copay. You may want to raise that because you want to align the incentive, have the primary care office zero copay or something very low, because once again, you're trying to drive behavior. So our experience on the healthcare delivery side can help plans be able to be made appropriately, as JB said, to align incentives. Because if you're not aligning incentives, people are going to behave the way they want to behave. We're looking at changing that system on the primary care delivery. And also, to be honest, I say in my own office, I would estimate about 30% of patients I don't actually need to see. If I had other ways to get incentivized and or deliver that care, you could call the office, you could send me an email, I could say, hey, Mike, you know, rather than come in to look at your blood pressure, just send me some blood pressure readings. And then you don't have to take off a half a day at work. You don't have to sit in my waiting room and get exposed to all the cold and flu out there. And you're happier, I'm happier. And we've really, once again, provided that same quality of healthcare. Quality is very important, but in a much lower cost setting. So those kind of innovative solutions and how we can change the delivery of healthcare is really what we're about.